This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to ask for feedback the right way. A practical system for getting honest, useful feedback at work. In short, after reading this, you will know exactly how to ask for feedback at work in a way that gets honest, useful responses every time. Prepare a specific question before you ask, not a vague request for general thoughts. Choose the right person and the right moment, not just whoever is nearby. Follow through on what you hear, so people trust you enough to be honest again. Definition: to ask for feedback means to deliberately request honest, specific input from another person about your performance, communication, or behavior at work. Done with the right preparation and timing, it is one of the most direct tools for professional growth available to you. The real cost of not asking well. You finish a presentation. You think it went reasonably well. A week later, your manager gives a nearly identical presentation and delivers it differently, more clearly, to a much better response. You never find out why. Nobody told you what to fix. And the gap between where you are and where you could be stays exactly where it is. This is what happens when people do not know how to ask for feedback the right way. It is not that no one has useful things to say. It is that most people never ask in a way that invites an honest answer. The real problem is not laziness or arrogance. It is fear combined with a lack of structure. People worry that asking will make them look weak, or that they will get a response they cannot handle. So they either avoid asking altogether, or they ask in ways so vague that the other person gives them something polite and useless in return. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for asking for feedback at work that you can use immediately. If you want to understand how feedback fits into the wider picture of professional communication, the article on how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it is worth reading alongside this one. Why asking for feedback is harder than it looks. Knowing that feedback helps you grow and actually being able to ask for it well are two very different things. Most people understand the value. Very few have a reliable system for making it happen. Here is what makes it genuinely difficult. Fear of what you might hear. Asking for honest input means accepting that someone might say something uncomfortable. That fear is real, and it causes people to soften their questions in ways that guarantee a soft and helpful answer. Not knowing what to ask. Any feedback for me is almost impossible to answer well. Without a specific focus, the person you are asking has no clear entry point, and they default to something vague and reassuring. Choosing the wrong person. Not everyone is positioned to give you useful input on every situation. Asking the wrong person wastes both your time and theirs, and often produces feedback that does not apply to you. Bad timing. Asking for input immediately after a stressful event, or in a busy corridor with no time to think, rarely produces thoughtful responses. Context matters more than most people realize. Defensiveness during the response. Even when people ask well, they sometimes react to honest feedback in ways that punish the giver. The other person remembers this, and next time they give you something safer instead. Not acting on what you hear. If people see that their feedback disappears into a void, they stop giving it honestly. Trust in the process erodes quickly when there is no visible follow-through. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Skipping these is the most common reason the steps that follow fail to produce anything useful. Number 1. A specific situation in mind. You need to know exactly what you are asking about before you approach anyone. Not my performance in general, but a particular presentation, a specific conversation, or a project you just completed. The more specific the situation, the more specific and useful the input you will receive. Number 2. The right person for the job. Think about who actually witnessed the situation you want feedback on, and who has the skill or experience to assess it well. Your best colleague is not always your best source. Someone who was in the room and has relevant experience in that area is worth 10 people who are simply easy to approach. Number 3. Your own emotional readiness. This is the one people skip most often, and it costs them the most. Before you ask, be honest with yourself. Are you prepared to hear something that challenges your view of your own performance? If you are not ready yet, wait. Asking before you're ready means you will respond in ways that discourage honesty, and you will not benefit from what you hear anyway. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Choose the right person at the right moment. Choosing who to ask and when to ask them shapes everything that follows. Not every person is equally useful as a source of feedback. The person most likely to give you honest, specific input is someone who witnessed the situation directly and has enough experience to assess it with some perspective. A peer who sat in the room during your presentation is far more useful than a colleague who only heard about it secondhand. Timing matters just as much as person. Asking too soon after an event, when emotions are still high, often produces reactions rather than reflections. Asking too late means the details have faded and the input becomes generalized. The window between 1 and 3 days after a specific event tends to produce the clearest responses. Identify one or two people who were present for the specific situation you want feedback on. Consider their experience. Do they have enough context in this area to assess it well? Choose a moment when they are not rushed, distracted, or managing their own pressures. Ask in person or over a brief video call when possible. Written requests often get vague written responses. Let them know in advance that you would like their honest input on something specific so they can prepare. Here is what this looks like in practice. After a client meeting, you approach a senior colleague who is present and say, "I would love 15 minutes with you later this week. I want to ask you about something specific from this morning, if you are willing." That brief advance notice signals respect for their time and gives them a moment to think. It also signals that you are serious, not just making small talk. Choosing well at this stage means every step that follows becomes easier and more productive. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments. The ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 2. Frame your request with precision. A vague request produces a vague response. This is nearly a law of human communication. The way you ask shapes the answer you receive. If you ask, "What did you think?" you are handing the other person an enormous, undefined task. Most people will respond with something polite. They are not being dishonest. They genuinely do not know where to focus. Your job is to make it easy for them to be specific and honest. You do this by naming the situation clearly, telling them what kind of input would be most useful, and keeping the scope narrow enough to be answerable. Name the specific event, the team meeting on Tuesday, or the proposal I sent to the client. State what aspect you're focused on: your communication style, your structure, your handling of a particular moment. Ask one question, not three. Multiple questions at once dilute the response. Use language that signals you genuinely want honest input, not reassurance. "I'm trying to improve this rather than I thought it went well. What do you think?" Avoid framing that makes it hard to disagree with you. "Was that as strong as I think it was?" Create pressure to confirm your view. When you frame a request precisely, you give the other person permission to be genuinely useful. That is a gift to both of you. Step 3. Listen without defending. This is the step where most people undo all the good work they did asking well. When someone gives you honest feedback, your nervous system may interpret it as a threat. The impulse to explain, correct, or justify is strong and immediate. It feels like self-defense. What it actually does is punish the person for being honest, and they will be less honest with you next time. Your only job during this step is to listen and understand, not to respond or evaluate. You can evaluate later, on your own time. Right now, you're gathering information. Stay physically still and open and crossed arms. Steady eye contact, no visible tension. Let the person finish their thought completely before you speak. Ask one clarifying question if something is unclear. "Can you say more about what you mean by that?" Acknowledge what you heard without agreeing or disagreeing. "I appreciate you saying that." Write down the key points afterwards while they are still fresh in your mind. Here is a script that works. The feedback you receive is this: "I think you rushed through the second half of the presentation and people stopped following you." Your response: "That is useful. Can you tell me where you noticed that happening, so I understand it better?" Notice what is absent from that response. There is no but, no explanation, no defense. Just an open question that invites more clarity. That is what real listening sounds like in practice. How you receive feedback determines how much of it you get. Respond well here, and the person you asked will be willing to be honest with you again. Step 4. Ask one follow-up question. A single, Well-chosen follow-up question is where feedback stops being an observation and starts becoming something you can act on. Most feedback, even honest feedback, sits at the level of observation. Your communication could be clear. It tells you something is not working. It does not tell you what to change or how to change it. One follow-up question bridges that gap. This is not about challenging or interrogating the person. It is about going one level deeper than the initial response, so you leave the conversation with something specific enough to work with. Wait until the person has finished their initial response before asking your follow-up. Choose a question that moves toward action. What would have made that clearer? Or what would you have done differently? Avoid questions that invite vague answers. What do you mean? Is weaker than what specific moment stood out to you. Only ask one follow-up. More than one can feel like an interrogation. Thank them genuinely before the conversation ends, regardless of what they said. This step is where the SBI method becomes useful as a reference point. When you understand how structured feedback works, you can ask better follow-up questions because you understand the difference between a behavior and its impact. One good follow-up question turns a conversation into a lesson. Step 5. Reflect before you react. Between hearing feedback and deciding what to do with it, there is a step that almost everyone skips: reflection. Not all feedback is equally useful. Some of it is sharp and accurate. Some of it reflects the giver's own preferences more than your actual performance. Some of it is accurate in one context and misleading in another. Your job is to evaluate it honestly before you act on it or dismiss it. This requires time and a degree of honesty with yourself that is not always comfortable. Let the feedback settle overnight before you assess it. Distance makes evaluation clearer. Write down the core of what you heard in your own words. Ask yourself, does this match anything I have noticed about myself or heard before from other sources? Consider the source. Is this person in a position to assess this well, or are they observing from a limited angle? Identify one specific, concrete action you could take based on what you heard. Separate what stings from what is actually true. Both categories deserve attention. Here is what reflection looks like in practice. You hear that your emails are too long and people stop reading them halfway through. It stings because you've always prided yourself on being thorough. But when you think honestly about the last time someone acted on a long email from you, you realize they did not. The feedback is right. You now have something specific to change. Reflection is not passivity. It is the act of turning raw feedback into a clear decision about what to do next. Step 6. Take one visible action. Feedback without follow-through is a dead end. For you and for the person who gave you honest input, when someone takes the time to give you genuine, specific feedback and then watches you carry on exactly as before, they learn something important. Their honesty did not matter. The next time you ask, they will give you something safe. You will have trained them to do exactly that. Taking one visible action closes the loop. It does not have to be dramatic. It has to be real and it has to be seen. Choose one specific, observable change based on the feedback you received. Make the change in your next relevant situation, the next meeting, the next email, the next presentation. Let the person know, briefly, what you did. I took your point about structure and tried something different this week. Do not overclaim. Say what you tried, not what you fixed. Ask if the change made a difference, if the context is appropriate. This starts the next feedback cycle naturally. The GROW method offers a strong framework for turning feedback into a structured improvement plan. If you are serious about making lasting changes from what you hear, that approach will give you the scaffolding to do it. Visible action is what turns a one-time conversation into an ongoing relationship built on trust and honest communication. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid teams. Remote and hybrid environments create specific challenges for asking for feedback. When you are not sharing physical space with colleagues, many of the natural moments that prompt feedback disappear, and the emotional texture of a conversation flattens significantly over a screen. Schedule it deliberately. In a shared office, you can catch someone after a meeting. Remotely, you need to create the moment intentionally. Send a brief message asking for 15 minutes on a specific topic, just as the process describes, but build in the scheduling step explicitly rather than assuming it will happen organically. Use video, not text, when you can. Asking for feedback by email or chat invites short, hedged responses. A video call gives both parties the ability to read tone, pause, and go deeper. The quality of the feedback you receive on a video call is typically far richer than what arrives in a message. Be even more specific in your framing. Remote colleagues often have less context about your day-to-day work than people in the same room. If you are asking about a virtual presentation or a written document, share the artifact before the conversation so they can review it with fresh eyes. Acknowledge the distance directly, saying, "I know it is harder to read a situation remotely, but I would really value your honest take on this." Gives the other person permission to be candid despite the limitations of the medium. It also signals that you understand the challenge they face in observing your work from a distance. The core process remains exactly the same. Only the execution changes to account for the environment you are working in. Common mistakes to avoid when asking for feedback. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: asking, "Did I do okay?" Instead of asking a specific question. Why it happens: people fear a negative answer, so they frame the question in a way that makes a positive answer more likely. What to do instead? Ask about a specific element. What could I have done differently in the first 5 minutes? This makes an honest answer easier to give. The mistake: asking immediately after an emotionally charged event. Why it happens: the desire for reassurance is strongest right after something difficult, so people ask at the worst possible moment. What to do instead? Wait 24 hours. Let both you and the other person settle before opening the conversation. The mistake: responding to honest feedback with a "but." Why it happens: the instinct to explain or defend yourself is almost automatic when you hear something critical. What to do instead? Say thank you and ask a clarifying question. Save your reflection for later, when you're alone with your notes. The mistake: asking everyone and acting on nothing. Why it happens: gathering feedback can feel productive even when nothing changes. It becomes a substitute for action. What to do instead? Ask fewer people, listen more carefully, and make one clear change. Then let the person know you did it. The mistake: only asking upwards, never sideways or downwards. Why it happens: people assume that managers have the most useful perspective. Often, peers and direct reports see things a manager simply cannot. What to do instead? Build a practice of asking colleagues at all levels. The feedback you get from a peer who works closely with you is often the most precise you will ever receive. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist for asking for feedback. Use this checklist before you begin and after each feedback conversation. I have identified a specific situation or event I want feedback on. I have chosen someone who witnessed that situation directly. I have confirmed they have the experience to assess it well. I have chosen a calm moment to ask, not a rushed or stressful one. I have prepared one specific, focused question in advance. I have mentally prepared to listen without defending. I have a way to capture the key points during or after the conversation. I have identified one follow-up question to take the response deeper. I have given myself time to reflect before deciding how to respond. I have committed to taking at least one visible action based on what I hear. I plan to let the person know what I did with their input. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a complete, practical process for asking for feedback at work, from choosing the right person to closing the loop with visible action. That is more than most people ever build for themselves. Choose someone who is present and has the experience to assess the specific situation you are asking about. Time your request carefully 1 to 3 days after the event is usually the clearest window. Frame your question precisely and narrowly. Vague questions earn vague responses. Listen without defending. Your response in the moment trains people to be honest or safe with you in the future. Ask one follow-up question to move from observation to something actionable. Reflect before you react. Not all feedback is equally accurate, and distance helps you evaluate it well. Take one visible action and let the person know you did it. This is what builds a culture of honest input around you. To build the other side of this skill, read word-for-word scripts for giving constructive feedback at work, which gives you the language to deliver feedback with the same precision you are now learning to invite. For feedback conversations that happen in meetings, how to handle conflict during meetings will help you manage the moments when honest dialogue turns tense. And if you want your feedback conversations to leave a clear record of what was agreed, follow-up emails that reinforce accountability shows you how to do exactly that. Learning to ask for feedback well is one of the few professional skills that improves every other skill you have if you build the courage to do it honestly and the system to do it well. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to ask for feedback at work? To ask for feedback at work means to deliberately request honest input from a colleague, manager, or peer about your performance, behavior, or communication. Done well, it gives you specific, actionable information you can use to grow and improve your professional skills. How do you ask for feedback without sounding insecure? Ask with a specific question rather than a vague plea for reassurance. Say what you're working on and what kind of input would help. This shows self-awareness and preparation, which signals confidence rather than insecurity. When is the best time to ask for feedback? The best time to ask for feedback is shortly after a specific event, a presentation, a project handover, or a difficult conversation. The details are fresh for both you and the person you are asking, which makes the input far more specific and useful. How do you ask for feedback from your manager? Schedule a brief, focused conversation rather than catching your manager in passing. Name the specific situation you want input on and ask one clear question. This respects their time and makes it easier for them to give you something genuinely useful. Why is asking for feedback so difficult? Asking for feedback is hard because it requires vulnerability. Most people fear criticism or worry about appearing weak. Without a clear structure for how to ask, many people either avoid it entirely or ask in ways that invite vague, unhelpful responses. What should you do after you ask for feedback? After you receive feedback, acknowledge it without becoming defensive. Thank the person for their honesty, even if what they said was uncomfortable. Then act on at least one specific point and let them know what you changed. This builds trust and earns better feedback next time. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.